2, 3, 4, testing. Okay, all right. Good morning, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be glad. I was glad when they said, let us come to the house of the Lord. As we begin our worship service, I just have a couple of announcements. Don't want you to forget, I'm still looking for the mystery envelope person who used in 2023 envelope number 48, but it was a 2022 envelope. All last year in 2023, you used a 2022 envelope number 48. So that's a bingo number. You come every Sunday. You're probably here. You have not received your contribution financial record. I just want you to have it. You might want to give it to Sam, Uncle Sam. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, look. And somebody now in 2024 is using envelope number 17. And bingo. And I don't know who you are because you didn't write your name on the envelope, and that's what you have to do. The first envelope, when you use it, write your name on it, okay? Then I can put the number with the name, and then I can give your financial statement. Otherwise, if you don't have one, too bad. Maybe we should. We should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will's here today. Jacob was supposed to be here, but he got the flu badly. Ooh, bad. But Will came like the Lone Ranger he is.
A Lone Ranger.
Save the day.
Okay. Very rarely a Lone Ranger with all my right. Seven-person family, but
yeah.
Yes.
And then we got to remember, we've got coming up the homeless veterans for American Legion. And here's a check from us at North Point to help out with that, okay? All right, that should help, right? And we have a potluck dinner Friday, February 9th. Friday, February 9th, 5:30. It's a potluck dinner. You can come. You don't have to go to the American Legion event that's afterwards, but you can come here. But you could. Miles will probably be here. He always does for dinner. Miles likes a free meal, so he'll probably be here. But anyway, Miles is playing, too, at the event there at the American Legion. That's on February 9th. And any goods that you want to bring, we ran out of these, Terry, last week, what to bring, but I don't have any more. I found this sheet in the garbage. Okay. Yeah, so... Yeah, like canned chili and cereal and stuff like that. Okay, anyway, we'll move on from that. Okay, that's done. Bunko, then, is on February 15th. You should come for a Bunko.
Is it, like, competitive, or is it just fun?
Oh, I'd say, listen, anything with the church ladies is competitive.
I like competitive.
I know. It's a good time. But anyway, February 15th, that's a Thursday night. At 6 o'clock, you can come. They have food there then, too. Always food with the church ladies. Count on it. Okay, and I also want to say, I got the candelabras here. They're back. They're totally restored, refurbished. They look beautiful. Some guy took them all apart and reassembled it and polished them. He's a big guy, and they call him Al. Okay, but anyway, they look really great now, okay? And then what we got ordered from the grace of God, the Amel Ewald Foundation, that's Craig and Jan. Amel died this past year. They donated some money for the church to build things up. We have coming some special altar cloths that are being handmade in Poland. They're going to be beautiful. And there are some banners that are on the way for the back that are exquisite. They're just tremendous. God has blessed us. Just want to let you know, that's all going to show itself probably around Easter. That'd be a good time to celebrate. Anyway, that's that. Okay, envelope number 48. All right, got that taken care of. Well, we're here for worship. And so we're going to do just that. We want to look, see. Yes, Neil. No, that's against the rules. You know, all over America, you can do whatever you want to do. But when you come to Heartland, we've got a little law and order. And they're very much opposed to doing that because people drive through the cemetery. So they close that off. Yeah, so we have less parking. So you young people got to go down below the hill and walk up. You know, so that's all the parking we have. I'm sorry. They don't want me to open it. Okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen to that. Amen. Yeah, that was the next slide, Craig. You can go on. There we go. Let's see. Oh, we'll just recap it. Yeah, there we go. That's good. That's good. Yep. What do we got next? There we go. It runs forever. The opening prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, for the many blessings you bring our way, for our church, for the fellowship that we celebrate and rejoice in because of your great love through your Son, Jesus Christ, who brings us together in these times which are a-changing, to know our purpose, our value, our worth, as we put our lives before your plan. In Jesus we pray, amen. We got a reading from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Therefore, we do not lose heart. You see, because of all that we just went through, we do not lose heart. We don't become discouraged. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We have been talking about change. Talking about change. Maybe you're tired of hearing messages from me about change, right? Probably. But I know one thing. Many of us get very tired of seeing things change. We don't like it. From the insistence upon electric vehicles, the removal of gas stoves, to the construction of wind turbines on our coastlines and across our most beautiful prairies, to having to drive automobiles, they tell us now, that are going to have governors that will keep you from speeding. And then all of this woke stuff that they start pouring on you, constantly throwing in your face. We don't like it. You know the kind of changes that I'm talking about. Most of you do, I think. You can come to this country illegally, travel to some city on a bus or on a plane, and it costs you absolutely nothing. And they even give you some extra spending money. And if you go to Chicago, they'll probably give you $9,000 for rental, or they'll put you up in some really great accommodation somewhere, free health care, a phone, no doubt. Certainly, you can be pulled over for a DUI. Or steal grandma's social security number for fraudulent activity to get some more cash. And you can even beat up a couple of police officers in the heart of downtown New York City and be told, no problem, welcome to America. And then DEI, what? How can you ever have a Super Bowl? Should we forget about it? About being the best? What's it doing to our work? To everything? To our military? The changes we face in life can really stress us out. Some of us, with all of the changes in your life, you may come to say, what I need to make it right now in life, with all of these things changing, I need a miracle, nothing short than a miracle. Are you feeling that way? Change can do that to you. I looked closely into the mirror the other day. And well, I said, Alan, come on. You just got to deal with it. You're getting old. Age has a way of getting to all of us. We all look for ways to cope with the change. And some of our changes, though, are far greater than looking into the mirror. We have to look at each other. So how do you deal with that? With all the changes. How do you cope? How do you make it? A Greek philosopher once said, the only thing that is permanent in life is change. And I think he's right. It's probably true. We live in a rapidly changing society. Nothing seems to last. Alvin Toffler, maybe you remember reading about his stuff back in college. I did. He said, we live in a throwaway world where things are used and then tossed away. Unfortunately, that is more than just things. That goes for some people as well. I mean, one day you are important. You seem necessary. And the next day you face the fact that you're not needed anymore. And it hits right at your worth, your value, your significance. You're out of here. Realize this. Every one of us, more than likely, we'll face this at some point if we have not already. And because of it, there is this fear that grows in us, this frustration, this anger, this bitterness, this crabbiness that shows itself in our families. We never know when we're going to be on the outside looking in, if you know what I mean. Like a stray cat that is given a nice warm glass bowl of milk and then turned out into the dark, cold night. Bye. Then there come times when we wonder, where's all this going? Where's this taking me? Where are we headed? Where is it all going to end up when we face all of this change that envelopes me? The Bible talks about this in our reading today, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Paul says, don't get discouraged when these things are happening. These troubles, these problems, these pressures, these changes. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are changing, wasting away, he says. Inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And this small and temporary trouble we suffer will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than our trouble. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is temporary, what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You see, St. Paul, he says here in this reading that everything is grouped into two groups, that which is permanent and that which is temporary, that which is visible, the material things that we see, and that which is invisible, those values that last in life, that which will pass away and that which is going to abide forever, that which is changeless and that which always seems to be constantly changing. Two groups. The material things that we see are not going to last. This church someday will be rubble. I hate to say it. We just got here not too long ago. But it will be rubble. The things that are invisible in life, the values that we share in this building, they're going to last forever. They're going to continue to last in spite of the visual changes that we see taking place around us everywhere. Some things are going to last and some things are not. The key to coping with change is to focus on the things that are going to last. That's what St. Paul is saying here in our reading today. Answer that, please. So, if you want to be on solid ground when the winds of change are blowing your direction all around you, and it looks like everything is seemingly falling apart in your life, and you're being uprooted in your life, and you're being taken to places that you really don't want to go to, then St. Paul says, focus your attention, fix your eyes on what is not seen, on the values that are going to last, on the things that are permanent, and wherever they are, hang on to them. Don't let them go. Base your life on the things that are going to last forever. But how do we normally deal with these things that are happening so quickly in our lives, facing all of this change? What is your typical reaction when things are changing so fast and everything is up in the air? How do you normally react to that? Well, I think for many of us, we rebel. We resist. We resist change. We fight and we fume and we oppose it. We talk about it. We become skeptical about the change that is happening in our life. In the 19th century, there was a group of people. They were called the Luddites. And they went around smashing all of the labor-saving devices that were out there because they believed that those things were unhealthy. They certainly weren't very helpful to many of the people because they were losing their jobs by way of these labor-saving devices. But they didn't just think about the money they were making. They were thinking about their health. They didn't think it was good for society. Things were happening way too fast for them. They were reactionary. It took me 10 years. Please get that. It took me 10 years. 10 years to stop using the typewriter and turn to the computer. I was still using carbon paper. It's the truth. Because I didn't want to go there. It was so new and different. When we are insecure, our first reaction is always negative. Have you noticed this? I mean, even with our spouses, our children, with our friends, I'm against it. I've never done it that way before. I don't think it's good. I think it's a bad idea. It can't be right. We resist. It's like the two caterpillars that were talking to each other and they were crawling around the ground and they looked up and they saw this beautiful butterfly. And the one caterpillar says to the other one, "You'll never catch me in one of those things." We always tend to be resistant to things that are different and new. But resisting change seldom works because change is inevitable. It's going to take place. It's going to happen, whether we like it or not. If you don't believe that, then just go home and get out your high school yearbook and take a close look. Or dig out of the closet that most beautiful wedding dress that you looked so radiant in and put it on. Or try to make a growing child remain in the same clothing for more than a year. It's not going to happen. You can't stop growth. You can't stop change. Resist, but it won't work. Time like an ever-rolling stream soon bears us all away. Change. So more than resist, which sometimes doesn't work too well, we resent change. We don't like it. We gripe. We groan. We complain. We moan. We get upset and we bury ourselves in old ways. The way it used to be was so much better. Some of us just lie in bed and pull the covers over our head, hoping it will just go away. But mostly we gripe and we complain, we grumble. It's our nature. I know this. Change always produces stress in us. It gets under our skin. It does something to us. And so we resist it, and we may resent it. Sometimes we just run from change. That's right. We retreat. We resist, we resent, and we retreat. We head in the opposite direction. In times of great change or stress in our society, people try to return to the past, to the good old days, and all the memories that were so much brighter and better, right? There's something comforting about retreating back to when things were much more simple. The truth, though, is we tend to glorify the past. I want you to know that. We glorify the past. We make it really what it was not. A lady wrote a letter to William Randolph Hearst and said, "Your newspaper just is not as good as it used to be." To which he wrote back a one-line response, "It never has been." We tend to glorify the... Recently, they have uncovered a Babylonian inscription. They date it back some 6,000 years ago. Now, that's a long, long time. The inscription says it all. "The times are not now what the times used to be." That's what it said. 6,000 years ago. Imagine that. That said, listen. And I know that some of you are going to resist this comment. You maybe are going to resent this comment. But actually, the past was really not that much better. It wasn't. The difference is we know what it is like. We know. It is a known quantity. And we don't know what the future holds. And that is scary. That's what is so scary to all of us. And there is so much really scary right now. AI, social media, what it's doing to our kids. They're even holding Senate and House meetings on this, over what's happening to our children with these dang phones, social media, and what they can get their hands on. And the political atmosphere of our nation. So much is happening that we believe is slapping God right in the face. We call out for some serious action against Iran. Come on! Hey, wake up! They can't even bring law and order into our own city streets. And you expect them to bring it into the world with this kind of mentality? They're not going there. You're not going to be able to drive through that snow. It's not going to be cleared. It ain't going to happen. Truth is, though, at heart, listen, we need change. In some ways, we really look forward to the change. We'd like to see some changes right now. Because our life gets really boring if there is no change. We like change, though, if it's gradual, if we can control it, and we know where we are going, and hopefully in the direction of the values that we cherish and love and believe in. What we don't like is uncertainty. What we don't like is the unknown. And that's where all of this stress comes in. Initially, as a pastor, I was not very good at helping people going through some of the changes that they were facing in life. I admit that. I was not good. I sort of felt like, deal with it. Deal with it. You just have to deal with it. Things happen. There was another banner going, or a bumper sticker that said something else, but I'll just say things happen. What is so surprising? What is so surprising? It's going to happen. You see, when I was a child, my parents moved from one place to another about every 3 years. Never longer than that. That's the way it was for me. Time to move. It was because of my dad changing jobs, his anxiousness about where he was going to live, about his future, or about my brother and his health problems, which they tried to deal with. And so we moved all the time. I had to leave my friends all the time. And that does something to you. It does. I just stopped making friends. It hurt too much. I didn't see the value of it. I remember one time crying in the back seat of the car as my mom and I were going to pick up my father from his new job at Air Research. We had just moved from Illinois to Arizona. I was about 8 years old. From the back seat, I cried out, "Why did we have to leave? I don't want to be here. I want to see my friends again. Why did we come?" And my mom turned around and with little explanation, she said, "This is your home. We had to move. Make the best of it. You'll be all right. Stop crying." A tough answer to change. You know, I was all right. I was. I was taken care of, but I wish someone would have helped me a little bit more instead of making me feel like my life didn't matter. My life didn't count in the changing process. I know my mom, she wished she would have helped more. Sometimes, yes, it's tough to deal with it. It's hard, but it is sure nice when there's someone there who is ready to help. Someone who is there to give a listening ear as we adjust to the cold realities of life. We need to help each other with change. We need each other. We need this church. We need people who care. But most of all, the best thing for you is what St. Paul is saying here. He said, build your life on something that is permanent and immovable. Build your life on a foundation that cannot be shaken. Look at the things that are unseen, he says. Hold on to the permanent values of life. As a church family, this is what will make us strong. And this is what will move us in the right direction in a changing world where things are happening way too fast for many of us. It will give us the handles that we need so that we can live. Lift each other up. Help each other. What are you, I ask you, what are you building your life on? Let's rise right now and let's make it really clear as to what needs to be the foundation of our life. Will lead us in this next song. It will make a declaration. I pray it is yours.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one I could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build.
In you alone, and I will not be shaken.
I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you. And I will not be shaken.
Thank you, Will. Please be seated. I love the message in the letter to the Hebrews. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can hold on to Him. Everything that Christ was yesterday, He is today. And everything that He is today, He will be tomorrow. So through any and all changes you face, and I know some of you are facing some pretty big changes right now in your life. I would not doubt that some of you right now are just overrun by a change that has happened. I tell you, Jesus needs to be your focus. That's where your focus needs to be. When you feel like I felt at 8 years old in the back seat of that car, you need to turn yourself to the value and the worth that you have through God's promises fulfilled by way of His own Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our future. He is your future. Think about that. When it is all said and done, and this world can't change anymore, and that day will come, what is going to count? What is really going to matter? Only that which God has prepared for us in Christ. Only that. So if you want stability in the middle of a feeling like things are uncontrollable, that things are changing way too fast for you, and you're headed in all the wrong direction, then look what God has done and what God is doing. Look at what God has done in the past and look what he is doing now and will do in the future. And he does it all in Christ. He is the future and the past that puts change in its place. And you know something? I think that is exactly why God allows, listen, that is exactly why God allows all these changes to come. It is for the greatest purpose of all, for the strengthening of your life with him. That's why it's happening. Because we get so easily sidetracked by things that are far less valuable than him. And we think they are the cat's meow, and they're not. When things are looking ugly, turn to that which is beautiful and will make you beautiful. The love of God in Jesus Christ is your future and your past. He is everything. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, future, past. Will's going to help us out with this next song.
You hold the reins on the sun and the moon, horses driven by kings. You cover the mountains, valleys below, with the breath of your mighty wings. All treasure of wisdom and things to be known are hidden inside your hand. And in this fortunate turn of events, ask me to be your friend. You ask me to be your friend. And you are my first, you are my last, you are my future and my past. And you are my first, you are my last, you are my future and my past. The constellations are swimming inside the breath of your desire. Where could I run? Where could I hide from your heart's jealous fire? All treasures of wisdom and things to be known are hidden inside your hand. And in this fortunate turn of events, you ask me to be your friend. Oh, you ask me to be your friend. And you are my first, you are my last, you are my future and my past. And you are my first, you are my last, you are my future and my past. You are the beginning and the end. the beginning and the end. You are the beginning and the end.
You are my first. Let's sing this together.
You are my first. You are my last. You are my future
and the past.
And you are my first.
You are my last.
You are my
future
and my past.
Woo. Will, that was good.
Thank you. Yeah.
I want to say three things. God's love for you will never change. God's love for you will never change. You say, though, what if I mess up? What if I really blow it? What if I make a failure out of everything? Well, I'll tell you, God's love is not based on what you deserve. Thank God. God's love is based on Christ, on His grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Yes, God loves you just as much on your bad days as He does on your good days. Believe me, you can build your life on God's love because it will not change for you. Paul said it. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? No. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him. That's St. Paul's message from God. Our future is secure by way of God's love in Christ. So focus on that when things are disturbing to you as the way they are going in this world. As maybe the way it is going in your own home. As the way it is going in your church, at work, wherever. Your focus needs to be where God's love is taking you, not where you have been or where you think you are. Number two, God's word will never change. Isaiah said, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord lasts forever. It is ever amazing to me where people begin to look for their source of strength in their life in time of great stress. It blows me away sometimes to think what people will turn to in order to find some sanity. They go nuts. They turn to things that make them crazy, that numb their senses, that blow their mind. So often we look for answers in the things that are temporary. What a mistake. Listen, God's word stood the test of time. It has managed to stay relevant. It has stayed relevant in spite of all of the cultural changes that have happened throughout history. Many of you have told me from time to time, Pastor Al, your message is just so relevant. I mean, to me, it seems like you've been following me around. You're speaking right to me. Your message is so relevant. It's not my message. It's God's message, and He has been following you around. He is with you always, and He is talking to you. Believe me, I got to tell you, it is God's word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, my message will never pass away. The great philosopher Voltaire, who I think was an atheist, he must have been, he was sitting in his living room in his home one day talking to a bunch of people, and he looked at a Bible and he said, 100 years from today, this Bible will be an obsolete book, I'm telling you. Everyone was shocked by his comment. Today, Voltaire's home is a warehouse for the British Bible Society in France. True. What I am saying is, focus on the permanent in the midst of the changes in life. If you want stability, build your life on the truths and values that are eternal. God's word will never change. And number three, God's purpose and plan will not change. Never. It will not change. It is the only show in town that is not R-rated. It is a classic that will last forever. It is not Gone with the Wind. God has a plan amid all of the changes, and no change will destroy his plan. Do you know this plan? Astonishingly enough, God's plan is about bringing a change to you. Ironically enough, we tend to forget that. It is a plan of life, and eternity is the kind of life that I'm talking about. It is the plan that happens, that takes place, and works, even when things are bad. It takes all of the bad, and it takes any good. It takes it all and brings it together and works it for the greatest good. And what is the greatest good? His plan. His purpose. It will not be thwarted. For all of the bad choices we make, causing the most horrendous changes we could ever imagine, God is there working out his plan for us, and today he is calling us to trust that fact. History is his story. His story. History is. Not ours. Focusing on that will give us the purpose and the plan we need in the winds of time blowing around us. And so trust this fact. History is moving toward an appointed time. I've got to say this. It is moving toward an appointed time. People see all the bad things that are happening in this world today and they throw up their hands and they say, "What in the world is the world coming to?" Let me tell you, the end. It is coming to the end. I don't know when. But I can tell you this, the end will come. I can tell you something else. God will be there. And it is because it is his plan. He will be there. For all that you worry about concerning where the world is headed, and there's a lot of concern, I'm sure. The world is filled with terror. It comes at us in all places. There is war. It shows itself every day. There's financial insecurity for many of us. There's a brokenness that we feel when relationships crumble around us, when they're not all that we had hoped them to be. For all the changes that come to pick you up and take you in directions you don't want to go and to places you don't want to visit, in the end, you and God will be there. I want you to know that. You will be there. Nothing will upset the eternal plan that God has for you as you trust him and put your vision in his control. Billy Graham said it, "I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future." In closing, I tell you this. God has a purpose for you through the changes that come your way. All the changes. God has a purpose. He has a great purpose for this church, for us together as his people, as we focus on what cannot change. Any other focus will be self-defeating. Any other focus will leave us in a pit. Will we be tempted to resist and resent and to retreat in the face of change? Absolutely. So what do we do? Focus, absolutely, on that which will never change, God's love, God's word, God's plan, as it narrows itself down and comes right at us in the purpose of God's person of God's own Son, Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Jesus Christ is the miracle you need in a changing world. May that be our vision in these very changing times. You are my vision. We rise and sing and have an offering.
You are my vision, O King of my heart. Nothing else satisfies, only you, Lord. You are my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, your presence, my love.
Craig, you can skip the ooze. We're not going to do the ooze. I don't know that what that is. We're just going to keep going here.
Go to the meat of it.
What?
Go to the meat of it. Go to the heart.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We don't need to sing ooh.
You are my wisdom, you're my true word. I ever with you and you with me, Lord. You're my great father and I'm your true son. You dwell inside me, together we're one. You are my battle shield, sword for the fight. You are my dignity, you're my delight. You're my soul shelter and you're my high tower. Come raise me heavenward, O power of my power. I don't want riches or man's empty praise. You're my inheritance now and always. You and you only, the first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure you are. High King of heaven, when victory's won, may I reach heaven's joy, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Wonderful, Bill. Thank you. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah. Jake does that because he does it in three time, right?
Well, he does it in four time.
Four time.
The original that we just did is in three time.
Okay, got it.
Both ways are good.
Yeah, they both work. Okay. Yeah. You just change things up a little bit.
Yeah. I see what you did there. We changed it. See, I haven't listened when you talk.
You do?
I listen.
I'm glad you did.
Wisdom.
I hope they listened. You think they listened?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Everyone's captivated when you talk. Oh, okay. But you're not talking. God's talking through you.
There you go.
See, I listen.
Yeah. Smart man. Smart man. All right. Boy, that's pretty good. Lord God, Heavenly Father, wow. How you incredibly show us how important we are in this world by calling us to be your sons and your daughters. So many in the world are overwhelmed by change. and they can't see you. But you come by your grace and by your love to implant your word in our hearts so that we might have a solid ground to stand on and be some strength and some help to those that we love that are searching for that which is permanent and steady and has foundation. So you honor us today with this message of how important we are to this world that changes all the time and that slaps you right in the face. You call us. Thank you, Lord. Use us. Help us that we may ever stand on your promises, even as we now pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So don't forget, you're invited, potluck, Friday night, before the big event for the homeless vets that we care about so much. You know, it just boggles my mind how much resources are given to people who are not even in our country, our nation, our brothers and sisters, who have fought and laid down their lives for our protection. Let us give thanks to God for these men and women. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of you forever. Amen. We close with this song. Will, you got another one for us?
One more.
Yes, sir.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. My righteousness, Oh God, how I need you. Amen. Have a great week, church.